and welcome to the Android Police Podcast. My name is Daniel Bader. This week on the show, Bard is here, folks. We've been waiting our whole lives for this moment. At least Google would like us to just retcon us into thinking that we've been waiting our whole lives for this moment. it's here. It's available in testing in the US and the UK. We'll talk all about what it does well and probably more about what it does badly. Will and Ara are here to regale us with, well, I guess neither of you have access to it yet.
I do.
Yeah, Ara does.
You got it, what, this morning, yesterday?
Yeah, I finally found the email because it was in promotions instead of updates in my Gmail. But I finally found that like an hour ago.
You know, that wouldn't have happened if Gmail was powered by Bard. Just saying.
That wouldn't have happened if Inbox was still around. That's the
rule. Yes. Yeah. Freaking yes. Can we just turn this into an hour of me lamenting the loss of Inbox 5 years later?
I just don't know why we need AI if we, you know, we could just, I just want Inbox. I don't need AI.
I'll need a cigarette or two for that though. I'll need to become a smoker in order to have that conversation.
Why do that when cognac is so much easier?
Oh yeah, that's true. I should just bust out the Hennessy. The Oppo Find X6 Pro was announced with a massive 1-inch main sensor, two very large other sensors, ultra-wide and telephoto. It held the honor of having the widest telephoto aperture of any phone for like 5 days until Huawei announced the P60 Pro.
For all like of 5 days.
2 days ago. Oh. But that phone will also like never, ever get Google services. So it's... Anyway, we'll talk a bit about that. Huawei also launched the thinnest and lightest foldable phone ever. Again, not a big deal to us because it will never come to North America. And Huawei is really just struggling to release devices these days, but it's worth talking about. Some Pixel tablet leaks. I don't know if this is... I just want this device to be out.
Where is it?
It just needs to stop leaking and just like... existing in real life. It has to be released at I.O. Like they have to put it on sale.
Yeah, it has shadow drop. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we under have our seen seats,
You get a tablet.
We haven't seen any real like significant price leaks. We haven't seen any significant like press or retail packaging leaks. Like if this device was coming in 2 months, it is the end of March. It has a
so
month.
Weird. Every
There's
Google
no way it's coming
phone
at Google I.O.
leaks. Months, years in advance. We already know what the Pixel 11 looks like.
Yeah, pretty cool. Wish they dropped the glossy glass in the back, you know, just making a guess.
Yeah, exactly. They brought back the curved display.
Yeah, of course they did. They made it worse.
So, and then just a couple other small things this week. Google is finally fixing the ringtone and notification volume rocker things in Android 14. There's some updates to the Google smart speaker ecosystem that's worth talking about. And finally, you'll be able to get the see-through Chromebook that you've always wanted for some reason. I think there are dozens of you out there. But we'll start with Bard. Ara, you have this chatbot thing. Google released it as a test earlier this week. It's been, I think, put through the ringer by basically everybody that has had access to it. We have put out a couple of articles about how to use it, the 10 funniest responses that we've seen. I guess, Will, from the get-go, like, what have the overall impressions been about Bard and like how it compares to ChatGPT?
I don't know if this is just my corner of the internet. I feel like people have not been impressed with Bard. Either of you stop me if you feel differently. I know neither of you are on Twitter anymore. So like a few weeks ago, we talked about Bing, right? And about how like the best part of Bing was seeing everyone share these like kind of meme-worthy responses on social media and the jokes that Bing was essentially... And like it was toned down eventually, but like everyone loved like how insane Bing's chatbot was, right? And with Google, the stories I've been seeing on Twitter is like Google Bard fake leaked the Pixel using like weird non-actual leaks or like stuff that doesn't make any sense, and then places actually reported on it like it was a real leak, and it plagiarized Tom's Hardware at one point and then like owned up to it, was like, yeah, plagiarism is wrong, and then, well, then why did you do it? And it was like, I don't know, and just did. And I feel like everyone is like so maybe frustrated with Google right now that there's no patience. There's no understanding of like, oh, it just needs time to learn to like not make these mistakes. Everyone's just like, no, we're not. You don't get any slack cut for you. You have to get this right the first time. It's a much colder reception than I think Bing or ChatGPT or any of that stuff got.
Yeah, I think part of it is that it's not even that the shine wore off ChatGPT already. It's that it's already become immersed in our culture enough, and it's already reliable enough that anything even remotely worse than ChatGPT is considered a failure. Like, it speaks to how good ChatGPT was even under GPT 3 and 3.5. GPT 4 leaps and bounds ahead of where GPT 3 was. And then we have Bard, which feels like what GPT 2 might have been like 4 years ago. Like, I mean, it's good. And I think Google probably did not want to release this test yet. Some of these flubs are incredible. And it's so easy to get it to make mistakes. The one I was trying not to crack up. Somebody asked, the first 2 months of the year are January and February. What are the other months of the year?
It just lists, like, you can't do it. You can't even do it.
I can't. Mary. April. January.
This might be the hardest I've ever heard you laugh.
It's so good. Oh my God, I love it. It's just like, this is how you teach machines. You put in bad data and they don't know the difference until they're corrected. And it's like, we have all this data at our disposal, right? Like what we talked about last week about how the prospect of Copilot is so interesting to me and positive is because it's diffusing what is otherwise this massive data source, right? Like ChatGPT has access to everything.
Yeah.
And it's basically like taking the data that you are giving it, stuff that you are curating, and just like making it a little bit more useful or taking out the grunt work. But here, when you have just a prompt, it's basically a search prompt that instead of cutting through the BS, right now there are no ads, but like at least with Google search, you know that you're going to get reliable results immediately. And until we get to the point where Bard can give us reliable results without having to like worry that it's going to turn into a meme, this is just not going to be a useful service. And obviously Google is hedging. It's saying, we're going to get stuff wrong. Data is incorrect right now. Like, please give us feedback. But it's really sad to see how far behind Bard is in many respects already, given that it's Google and given that they've been working on this for like 7-8 years in some form.
The couple of examples that I highlighted are maybe things that like you could see something like ChatGPT making the same mistake, right? But then to your point, like it's in our roundup, but like... Someone asked, if I'm going 8 miles an hour, how many hours will it take me to go 8 miles, which is essentially a first or second grade level math word problem, right? And it answered 12.5 miles, which like, it's not even like, I don't even know how it gets there. It should just be able to figure out 8 divided by 1 is 8. The question that Bard is going to have to face is also, it's not just comparing to like, does it live up to like Google search, but also like, I mean, we talked about this too. Is it doing better than me typing something into Google and then hitting the word Reddit after it? And like, not really, not yet. So I do think it's a little embarrassing for them, especially it's so funny that we keep getting this thing where it's like 1 week we see Microsoft do something with AI and we're like, uh-huh, that's pretty cool. And then literally a week later, Google's like, no, we have it too. And we're like, seems bad, guys. I don't know. I'm not sure it's there yet. It's happened twice now. Like, so I'm curious how IO goes. Ara, I'm curious how your experience with it over the weekend will be, since that's probably when you're going to find the most time to mess around with it. But
yeah, no, sorry for going quiet there. I actually was like trying to get it to like mess up, and I mostly just annoyed myself because I was like, oh, what are the best cases for the Galaxy S23? And I'm like, this looks a lot like my article.
Oh no, it is your article. And it's not cited, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Oh yeah, no, it doesn't cite it on any of these, but also
it's very cool.
It even has like broken bolding for the dbrand case. And I'm like, so not only are you cribbing, you can't crib your style properly, But also, it's using the same five brands for every phone, because I put in like four or five different phones, and it was Spigen was always first. It was Spigen, Caseology, dBrand, Supcase or iBlazon, and then Ring K, which I'm not super happy about.
But I mean, UAG
showed up a couple times too.
Let's not take it for granted. Like, that is an interesting response, because you have to remember, ChatGPT, as good as it is trained on data from 2021, right? So it has to kind of make assumptions about things that were released after that. So when you talk about more modern, more recent products, ChatGPT will like stumble a little bit, whereas Google and Bing are combining the large language models as well as more recent data from a bunch of unnamed sources. I think Bing does cite its sources in many cases. So like questions that are more recent or require more recent data, Bard is going to do a better job most likely. But it's also kind of cool that like you can use this to maybe corroborate your own biases or like challenge your own biases when it comes to product recommendations and things that like you are stuck on. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to like dismiss Bard as being a bad product. I think it's still
super
extremely impressive.
Early for all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I will also say the only thing that Bard cited another website for was when I asked for wait times for Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. Like literally everything else, nothing was sourced. And I'm like, okay, well, this obviously came from an article. This obviously came from an article. Oh, hey, you actually credited the site, because there are a lot of websites. Nobody does it as well as them. So I'd love to see Bard show their work or show their sources a little bit more without you having to click the Google it and then open the web search to actually find where they got their stuff from. But I mean, I was also kind of happy because it did show me current wait times at two of the Walt Disney parks, and it knew when the fireworks shows were ending or starting up again. So it has things that it does pretty decently, and then it has things it just completely and utterly whiffs on. Because I'm sorry, you can't ask one of these AI things who makes the best French fries and actually get an answer. They'll either give you this is a very subjective thing, or they'll give you a list of like 10. And I'm like, guys, I just tell me one definitive, or tell me like two or three definitives on like, this one is crispy, this one is fluffy, and this one is best seasoned. Like, that's it.
But where is it pulling that data from?
I have no idea.
You know, it's probably trying to source it from opinion pieces of various bloggers, right? Or social media or whatever. It's only as good as the data that it's trained on. I mean, what I found it really helpful for, I mean, I haven't used Bard yet because it's not available in Canada, but I've used ChatGPT to simplify and like automate tasks in Google Sheets and Airtable, right? So previously, like one of my favorite / least favorite things is to try to figure out how to do a formula in Airtable. I'm not a programmer, so I have to do a bunch of Googling and try to understand the syntax so that I can do the thing that I want to do. But ChatGPT has literally allowed me to say, okay, I have these three fields. I want to concatenate them and then add a bunch of processing to it and add this and add that. And I just describe my problem. And almost every time, perfectly, ChatGPT gives me an Airtable formula. And that is already saving me like dozens of hours of work. And it's that kind of thing where it's not necessarily going to be helpful around things that you're very knowledgeable on. It's helping you remove that monotony of trying to like dive into something you have absolutely no idea about. Conversely, now I'm never going to learn how to program for Airtable because I don't need to anymore, right? So it's almost like, am I taking away the prospect of me actually benefiting from this long term? That's it. I don't know if there's more to say about it yet. We'd love to hear from you, though.
No, we need more time to just play with it. So we can have more fails next week.
We'll leave it on this, is that my favorite Bard response in our article is, of course, that it told the user that Bard had already been shut down.
Yeah.
So RIP Bard. Sorry.
Shut down on the day it was launched. Google March 21st, 2023. RIP. I love that it's sourced Y Combinator. It's sourced Hacker News, of all things.
No, I if you go into that thread, the source is someone joking. It was like remind me in 1 year to see if Bart is still active. That's what Amazing. It was sourcing. Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
You just played yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the Find X6 Pro. So this is an interesting phone from Oppo. The company launched the Find X6, Find X6 Pro at the same time. Right now, there's no plans for a global launch. They did launch the Find X3 and Find X5 Pros globally. Eventually, it got launched in China. But right now, there's no plan to launch this outside of China, which is a shame because it's really good. And it's not just good because it hits all the specs that you would expect, but as a sort of cohesive, well-designed product, it is outstanding. I mean, aside from the ColorOS quirks that I'm not going to go back into, because like if you think that the global version of ColorOS is bad, like the Chinese version of it is nigh unusable. I'll give you an example. It requires that I authenticate with my fingerprint every time I want to send a text message. I have no idea why. No idea. It will fail unless I authenticate my fingerprint.
Just SMS or every messaging app?
Just SMS, just the Google Messenger.
Okay.
Google Messenger.
That sounds so annoying.
It's so stupid. So I wasn't receiving texts for like 3 days. And I was like, what's going on? And I tried sending one and I had to authenticate. And then I got this flood.
Oh my God.
But I'm like, why are you holding this? Like what permissions thing? Anyway, I think the main reason one would be interested in this, aside from the really nice hybrid vegan leather back thing going on, is the camera system. So it's got the same IMX989 1-inch sensor as in the Xiaomi 13 Pro, but it's got a 3x periscope lens with a very large IMX890 sensor. So this is the biggest sensor that we've seen in a telephoto lens setup before. It's got a f2.6 aperture, which, as I mentioned at the top, is quite wide, quite open for a telephoto. Means it's going to perform better in low light, and it does really well. The minimum focal distance is pretty close. It's not quite as close as the Xiaomi 13 Pro, but it's very, very sharp. The ultra wide is also the same IMX890 sensor, so equally good. The telephoto does 3x native and then 6x hybrid, but the 6x looks perfect. Like you wouldn't be able to tell because of the size of the sensor. And it's just like a remarkable phone to take photos with. Like everything turns out good somehow.
Their marketing for this is that this phone does not have a main camera and then an ultra wide and a telephoto. It is that it has three main cameras, which I just think is very funny, but also based on your experience sounds almost kind of true.
Like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't quite say that. Like, yeah.
I mean, isn't that the dream? Like,
it is the dream.
I want a telephoto and I want a ultra wide that are just as good as the main sensor.
That's why the marketing caught my attention so much, which is why it's such a big game to be like, think of these all as your main camera. Like, I don't know. It's impressive if it holds up to it, which, you know, Daniel, go ahead.
So, I mean, it's not like consistent throughout.
Yeah.
But it's as close to, quote, the same as I've seen so far. Like, especially on the ultrawide. The ultrawide is super sharp. The colors are consistent across all focal distances. It's just a good camera system, like overall. It's just a very, very reliable camera system. And it really kind of exposed where even the Pixel 7 fails. Like, I've always been impressed with the Pixel 7's ability to capture motion indoors, right? Where Samsung always fails, right? Like you have a kid or a pet and it's moving and you're using a medium warm artificial light. There's always motion blur on a Samsung phone. Google does a much better job because it captures multiple frames and it uses face on blur and it usually does a pretty decent job, but like it's soft, right? The image is quite soft. With a big sensor like this, you can keep the shutter speed at like 1/120, 200, and the ISO is like only 2000, and even then it doesn't look grainy at all, and it just captures, like, everything is sharp. It's amazing. It's like shooting with an RX 100, but on your phone. Like it really feels like that.
No, I want to steal that phone and take it to like take films inside of the rides at Disney. Because trying to take video of anything indoors that has any significant motion is just trash.
I didn't play with the video as much. I think it's fine. It didn't like blow me away. And the irony is that the selfie camera is just trash. Like full on unusable.
I believe it's the same. Yeah, they kept the same IMX 709 sensor from last year. So yeah,
doesn't make sense. But I mean, this is a spec beast too, right? Like it gets up to 2,000 nits with HDR. The screen is gorgeous. The haptics are perfect. It's got like 12 or 16 gigs of RAM. Super fast charging. Like this is a flagship. It's expensive, and it'll probably never be released outside of China. So it's a bit of a shame.
I hope it hits Europe at least, but who knows?
I gotta say, for the design of it, I feel like it's the insane love child of like a Nokia 1020 and like an LG G4 or LG G5 with that two-tone leather and plastic back.
Yeah.
And the huge camera bump.
Yeah, I feel that as well. I like the design a lot, actually. Yeah, it's definitely got that like SLR camera lens feel to it when you're looking at it from behind, which is, I guess, the point, because they're really leaning into the Hasselblad partnership this time. So anyway, we're going to have a review of that at some point. But until then, I'm sure all the YouTubers who were taken to Malaga after MWC are going to be posting their reviews shortly. I was very jealous of that. All right, Pixel Tablet Leak is all about that base. So great headline, by the way. But
I just want everyone to know that Taylor Kearns, who wrote this article, wrote that as a joke, and I made him publish it.
It's perfect.
Good. If you're going to make a Meghan Trainor joke with your headline, you have to just commit to the bit.
He was like, it's a 9-year-old reference. And I was like, I don't
care. It doesn't care.
It doesn't matter.
9 years old?
Yeah, it's from 2014.
Oh my God.
It's fine. She put out that terrible, I'll say it, terrible mother song. It's fine. She's still like around.
That song sucks.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's so bad.
She's around though. It's fine.
But it's okay because this song is perfect. Anyway, what's going on with the Pixel tablet?
I don't know. That's it. I mean, in this leak, we got a glimpse of the stand, which is like, I feel like we hadn't actually gotten a good idea of what it looked like without the tablet on it. Like, to be honest with you, it looks like what you think it would look like. It's got four pogo pins on the back, or on the front, I should say. You know, you can see how it's going to just plop right on. It's got a barrel charger on the back. It's like fabric-y. It looks like a Nest product, like straight up. Where is this thing? Like, that's all I want to know. Like, that's what I'm more interested in, is that it's been...
It's in the
more
ether,
than 5 months since it was announced.
Daring to think it was going to be released in the first half of this year.
Didn't they say early 2023? Or am I just misremembering this? I genuinely.
I purely thought they just said coming in 2023. If this thing was coming at I.O., we'd have seen a hell of a lot more than we have already.
No, it's going to be at I.O. I think it'll be
on stage at I.O. I don't think it'll be released until either June with the June or July.
But then why didn't we hear about it with that retail leak last week? That's what I'm curious about.
Either that or it's going to be one of those, oh God, please don't let this thing be like invite only at first. Because I could see Google wanting to like limit it and refine the process before they try and sell it in any huge numbers.
I don't think. I knocked over a bottle of Tylenol. Jules, you can cut that or leave it in. I don't think...
Pat Bartholomew has a headache.
Would you try extra strength Tylenol?
That's right.
I don't think it's going to be, like, limited like that. I did expect it to be out by now, just because they announced it in October. Like, it's a very long time between announcement and unveiling. But for a device that shouldn't be that complicated, they should have the dock down. Like, it's not the first time we've seen this. I mean, it's the first time we've seen this idea, but, like, dock accessories are nothing new. I don't know. Daniel, do you have any Pixel tablet takes where
no,
it is?
Not really. I mean, this like it has to happen at some point. My big question is like, so it's going to have obviously two modes, right? The Android tablet mode, which is just going to be running Android, and then when it's docked, does it revert to the super janky, unresponsive OS that we get on like the Nest Hub Max?
What are you talking about? It's great. I love using the Nest Hub Max that is in my kitchen. It works. It's really responsive. It doesn't just constantly drop off my Wi-Fi network for no reason. It's great.
I see it like, oh, it's doing its wake up again. Like it's doing its little dance. See you in a few minutes, buddy. No, I don't know. I'm finding it difficult to see the value prop here if it does revert back to that kind of really janky state where you really don't want to touch the screen. And when you touch the screen, it almost feels like you did it accidentally and then you feel dirty.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, you'll ask it to play a song and it'll just be like, your Spotify account is currently being used by another device. And I'm just like, you motherfucker. There's no other device. I swear to God, if you were a person.
See, I don't have those problems with YouTube.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. I'm just, this is one of those products where because of the lower price that's being promised, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. We still don't know.
I think we've more just convinced ourselves that this needs to be affordable as an iPad, an entry-level iPad competitor to compete, which is true, I think. But who knows? Like, if it's high-end specs, it could be priced like a Tab S7 or whatever, and then I don't know. I don't know who's buying this for $600.
But remember, the entry-level iPad now, the one that Apple actually cares about, is $450.
I was talking about the 329 one, but yes, I know about the 450 one.
Although right, it is that's the thing, is that the $329 one is actually, I mean, it's still fine. It has an A13, but that's not the iPad that Apple wants you to think as the iPad anymore, right? And then when I was looking at sales on the Galaxy Tab S8 series yesterday, and I'm like, oh, right, that is an expensive tablet.
Yeah.
You know, I said Tab S8.
Yeah, it's on sale this week, and that's only like $100 off or so. And it's so hard to recommend that.
And it's old. It's over a year old at this point. It's weird that it's not cheaper sometimes.
The gumption. The gumption of Samsung to charge that much is incredible.
I mean, that's part of why the tablet, the Samsung tablet that I recommend is not the S8. It's usually the A8. That at least is priced reasonably and goes on sale at least twice a month. The S6 Lite also gets sales, but not quite as much as the A8.
Isn't the S6 Lite like 3 years old now?
I made that mistake too. No, it came out in 2022.
Really?
Yeah, no.
What is this model scheme?
I know.
Yeah, no. God forbid Samsung or any of these tech companies actually name things consistently so it sounds like everything is the same generation. No. The S6 Lite is the most recent S blank light that we have, and it came out last year.
We did not talk about it last week because it's a relatively small announcement, and I actually don't think its predecessor even came to the US in a phone, but Qualcomm announced their Snapdragon 7 Plus Gen 2 last week, which is their latest like upper mid-range processor, and I just can't get over that they were like, don't, like 2 years ago, don't worry guys, we're like refining our like naming structure, you guys are really, it's going to be easy to follow now, just series and generation. And then there's no 7 Gen 2, and someone asked in the briefing, it was like, hey, where's the 7 Gen 2? And they were like, well, the Plus doesn't mean a small bump in performance anymore, it just means that we think it's the best in the category.
I'm sorry, what?
Their explanation, and I put this in our coverage.
Well, isn't it that they didn't have a 7 Gen 1?
No, there's a No. The 7 Gen 1 came out a year ago, and the successor to that is, of course, the 7 Plus Gen 2.
Right.
Naturally. So they
skipped the whole one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
skipped the 7 Plus Gen 1 and the 7 Gen 2.
Yes.
And because it is straight to Plus Gen 2.
The Plus does not mean a small mid-gen bump anymore. It now means it's the best in the category that it's
in. Now means go fuck yourself.
More or less. I have not stopped thinking about it for like 3 weeks.
They were like, Intel did this really well. It put Intel in such a position of power that we're just going to emulate what Intel did.
And that's the same energy that Samsung is bringing to tablets, where it's like, we have 7 Tab A8s. Figure it out. One of them is from 2015. You might accidentally buy it. I don't care.
I mean, Samsung has been like printing money on people accidentally buying Samsung accessories for like 10 years. So it seems to be working. The only company that actually sells Android tablets is Samsung, basically.
Yeah.
With like Lenovo, like crouching over in the corner at the party, being like, I'm here too, don't forget me. But not really. So it's just funny that I'm like looking at these prices. The S8 is $600 on sale.
Yeah. Like
that's the entry level 128 gig small version is $700 MSRP. And then I remember the S8 Ultra when it came out was $1,200. It was $1,100.
Yeah, but you got to buy a keyboard dock for that.
Yeah.
That's true. So yeah, I mean, I guess I'm convinced that this will be like $399 and then you'll pay $150 for the base. That's my assumption.
I'm hoping it's just like $450 and has the base with it.
I can't imagine selling this tablet without the base.
It's
got to come with the base. The base is the whole point. If it doesn't come with the base, what are we doing? Then it's all trouble.
Google has learned this lesson. They should have learned this lesson back with the Pixel Slate. You do not sell a device
before it's time
that needs something else that is $100, that is more than $100 in order to make the damn thing usable. It has to be in the box. If it doesn't have the base in the box, then they are trying to sell this as a full competitor Android tablet. That is not what this is going to be. This is going to be a home entertainment device that becomes a tablet when you want to take it away from its speaker base.
I don't know if that's how Google's thinking about it, though, just because they're not calling it. It's not the Nest tablet. It's a Pixel tablet.
Yeah.
You know?
It is the Pixel tablet.
That says a lot, I think, in terms
of
like...
It'll be bundled together on the Google Store site, and it'll be like, Pixel tablet with Nest base add-on bundle. And then it'll be like $550 together.
It's got to be under $500 for both. So either this thing has to be... like $350 or $400, and then the base is $100, or it needs to just be like $400, $450 and come with the base. Like, we can't have this thing out here being $600 when we know that it's a first generation Google product. It is going to have issues.
I agree with Ara, which is why Daniel will be right.
I have long since accepted that my opinion is the bad one.
No, like your opinion is correct. I'm saying Google's going to make the wrong decision here, and that
how much was the Nest Hub Max when it came out? Was it 300?
I thought it was 300 or 330.
I got mine for free through Fios. Thank you, Fios.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, unless they replace the Nest Hub Max, which it doesn't seem like they're doing anytime soon, they're going to have this weird pricing awkwardness where you can get a second gen Nest Hub, which has Soli and like it's actually not a bad speaker and it's a little bit smaller for $100 in most places. And then the Nest Hub Max is still...
No, it was cheaper. It was $230. I don't know why I thought it was $300.
It was $230 when it came out?
Yeah, I'm looking at a review from 2019. It was $230.
Those are never reliable because they're always updated and then they never say they're updated.
You hear that, The Verge?
The Verge doesn't update their reviews. $229. All right. So it's still $229. So it's still the MSRP right now. So the base itself can't be more expensive than the Nest Hub Max, but it's going to have the same, I think, sound quality. But if it's too expensive at, let's say, $150 on its own, because it has no value proposition without the tablet, it's not going to function just as a standalone speaker, from what I can tell. If you just charge $150 for this add-on, then some people are going to be like, well, then I might as well just buy the Nest Hub Max for $70 more or whatever. So I'm revising my opinion. I think the base add-on will be $100 and the tablet will be more. So I think the package is still going to be $550, but the tablet itself will be $450. And the add-on will be $100. That's my prediction.
I think
final answer.
We're all applying too much logic to this, and whatever decision Google makes, we will not be able to track why it made that decision. That's my prediction.
That is the most likely of the three scenarios.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving on. I like this story. So Pebble founder Eric Mijakovsky famously likes small Android phones. He's talked about this before. He's talked about bringing iMessage to Android. He's talked about wanting to like make an actual small Android phone. And it actually seems like it's happening. What do we know about this so far, Will?
Eric, who co-founded Pebble, is working with a team of like other small phone enthusiasts, I would say, some of which are also from Pebble. A lot of this detail is coming from Ben Bryant, who was formerly at Pebble. He gave an interview with The Verge. They're basically just like in Discord, like making a phone. It's not even a company yet. The team is just called Small Android Phone. Yeah.
I love that it's just called Small Android Phone.
It's not even a startup. I don't know what it's a bunch of friends just like, what if we...
They're going to make nothing so mad. They're like, no, we have the means nothing company name.
Really? Yeah, for real.
Is this going to be called the Android Phone by Small? And then you say it together, Small Android Phone?
Did you see their list of potential product names?
No.
I did not put it in our coverage. I put a couple examples, but the Verge has a full list. So they have several categories: small, smart and powerful, friendly, industrial, earthy, and architectural. And then under those categories, they have potential names such as, so like for small, there's like Pico, Unit, Atom, Ion. For smart and powerful, which are probably the funniest, there's standard issue, which is, there's the nothing energy is calling it, man. Standard issue. There's equipment, but it's EQMT, which is big management MGMT energy. There's Mach 1, and then naturally, of course, you have to have it under earthy. There is Pebble, so we could just go full circle.
The Pebble phone. I mean, that seems actually
a Pebble phone seems the most logical of these.
Yeah, I agree. But
although doesn't Google own the Pebble brand now?
That was what I was going to say. I don't know if can they use Pebble.
I don't think they can. I mean, they use Pebble
as a model name. Brand for a wearable. It should be able to be used, like, for something else, right?
Fitbit bought Pebble, the IP, and Google bought Fitbit.
They bought it and killed it. So,
well, but that doesn't mean
that they still don't own the trademark.
Oh, no. I mean, ideally, it should be easier for them to like buy it back or license it.
Well, I just think they wouldn't call the company Pebble. They would call it like, it's the phone is the Pebble, but it's not like, I think they could get away with calling it a model, the model, the Pebble, right? And then like a successor would be the Pebble 2 or whatever, right?
Yeah, but the first Pebble watch was called the Pebble watch, right? Like,
yeah, they would have to have, I feel like, another
Pebble.
Yeah,
the brand, the product was also called the Pebble.
Yeah.
And then there's Pebble Time and Pebble Round and whatever. So anyway, I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand the nuances of this, but I'm assuming that they wouldn't just be able to call themselves like some company and then release the Pebble.
They should not call the phone the Pebble, but they should call their company like Stone or, I don't know, another
Marble.
Like, yeah, Marble.
It should be called the Marble because marbles are small too.
Yeah.
I like the under industrial. There's just work with an E. Like, work it.
Oh, God.
Like, what's happening here?
It's great. I love it. I have not gotten over standard issue. That is my
favorite one.
I would have
loved to be in these like half drunken late night conversations where they're just like throwing ideas around and Eric's just like, come on, guys, there's no bad ideas here. And somebody's like, Pebble? And he's like, yes, I love the energy.
Daniel, if you have nothing going on this weekend, and it's embedded both in our article and in The Verge's article, there's an unlisted recording of an AMA and design call that they held a month ago, presumably like just on Discord or whatever, that you can go watch.
It's like an hour long.
You can go find out all about like their early design work on this or whatever. And I'm sure there will be some of that energy of, it's like 10 o'clock on a Thursday and we're all having a couple drinks and making a phone.
I love it.
Yeah. So the truth isn't like, I would describe the phone except for the fact that like none of this is set in stone. Joke. The pun intended. The
phone itself isn't as exciting as just the fact that there is still somebody who wants to make my dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, this could fall apart at like any second, I guess, is my point. But like, they've got some ideas for the camera. They want to use a 50 megapixel main sensor. They're aware of the fact that computational photography is important, which is always good to hear a startup say. They are undecided between a Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1 or some unreleased mid-tier Qualcomm chip. I'm actually surprised it's not the Snapdragon 7 Plus Gen 2 they announced last week, which is more or less the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1.
Well, wouldn't they be using the 8 Gen 2 as well? You said 8 Gen 1 or 8 Plus Gen 1.
Yeah, no, they would not use a flagship processor. They would use the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1 from last year. Yeah.
But that defeats the whole point.
The A plus Gen 1 is not a bad chip. I know it's getting old, and it would really depend on when this phone would launch. And, like, based on this, you probably wouldn't get it for a while. But, like,
yeah, but the A Gen 2 just has is so much better efficiency. And that's so
no, you're thinking of the 8 Gen 1 has efficiency problems. The A plus Gen 1 handles it fine.
Yeah, no, the plus Gen 1 was okay. The 8 Gen 2 was just better.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge step up. In terms of like I've never had any issues with the Fold 4. They're looking at screens. They're having difficulty finding screens. They like reached out to see what displays this manufacturer had that were smaller than 6 inches, and all of them had been discontinued by the time that this company got back to them. Another one could only source a 5.4-inch notched panel, which is like exactly what the iPhone 13 mini uses. So that's probably what that is. And then there's the issue that it's going to be expensive. They want to crowdfund this like they did with Pebble. It would probably cost like $850, and that's assuming 50,000 people bought one. Only 38,000 people signed the petition that was launched a year ago. So I don't know. Like, maybe the interest really isn't there, but
I would not be surprised if the interest isn't there.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, I mean,
honest.
Like, I love small phones, but I accept that literally everybody else is like, I want more screen real estate. I want to be able to see more on my screen at once. I want to scroll less.
Yeah. The other issue is that, like, a startup like this, or not even, but you know what I mean? If this became a company and became a startup, like, they're saying that they'll probably support the phone for 2 years, which is
not
really where we are anymore. Like, we've kind of moved past that in the Android field finally, which is fantastic, but it does mean that when we see an $850 phone with 2 years of security or 2 years of support, it's like, well, it's not good. So regardless of the caveats, I'm excited. I want this to happen. I just think it would be fun. I want a small phone that is like usable and relatively powerful, but who knows? I love the dream. I love the energy. That's all that matters. And I'm looking forward to my Pebble Squared standard issue device coming 2024.
There you go. So I think the biggest impediment to this, to be honest, is not the phone or the company, but that as a culture, we have retrained our brains to think that devices like the Galaxy S23 and the iPhone 14 are small. And that is the biggest impediment to a Pebble phone success, right? 5.4 inches is not small, it's tiny, because 6.1 inches is small.
I was going to say, yeah, I'd want this in somewhere like the 5.6 to 5.8 range.
But if they're thinking of like an iPhone 13 mini, and if you compare what that looks like size to size to the S23, like it makes the S23 look like an S23 Ultra.
Oh yeah, I get it. I mean, I'm looking at an iPhone 13 mini right now. Like, that's a small phone. But that to me is too small, because I've been looking at devices like the iPhone 14 and the Galaxy S23 for 5 years, 6 years now. And that seems small to me, because every other device that I use is like almost 7 inches.
You've gotten so used to it. And it's also, it's the thing of like, if I'm shopping for a phone, I do have that feeling in the back of my head where I'm like, I could go for the smaller one, but like, I don't know, what if I finally buy like a nice controller for this and I want a big screen to stream games or something, which is nothing I'll ever actually do, not regularly at least, but like, then, you know, it's already, the thought's there, and I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll just get the big one. It's only $100 more.
Okay, let's go through the grab bag quickly. So the Mate X3 is available, got announced in China. This is Huawei's new foldable. Speaking of big phones, right, this is a thin, light foldable.
Looks
that
cool.
Seems to have everything you would want. Very low profile crease. Can't really tell when it's open. The hinge seems to be a little bit more manipulable than other competitors from like Xiaomi and Tecno and Honor. The screen itself is basically almost 1-to-1 when it's opened. So it's a pretty, it looks more like the Galaxy Fold, Z Fold 4. And say the Find N2. Got some really good specs, except that Huawei can't use modern 5G handsets or 5G SoC. So it's using the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1 that only supports LTE, because it doesn't have access to 5G due to the embargo. It also does not have support for Google.
But the hardware looks cool, and I like the design. That's all.
Yeah, it looks fine. The cameras are probably excellent because it's Huawei.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's unclear how much Android has changed since they lost Google services. Like, I'm not sure what it would be like using, even if you could install GMS on here, which you can't. There are no hacks that work anymore to get Google services on here. You could on devices like the P40 Pro a couple of years ago, because development of those devices started when Huawei still had access to GMS. Now it's like the door is closed on that. Yeah, I don't know. Nothing else to say. Seems fine.
It's pretty, but relatively
Yeah, really useless. Like the green. I don't know.
$2,000 if you translate the price. Yeah. Okay. Next thing, the Galaxy Z Flip 5 could almost be usable when folded. So this has been like the biggest complaint about Samsung's clamshell foldables, is that they're basically useless when they're closed. Oppo tried to fix this with the Find N2 Flip and failed miserably because you can't actually use Android on it. It's just a bunch of widgets. Looks like Samsung is definitely moving in that direction based on renders that we've seen. It looks like there might be two dedicated displays.
Yeah, it's super weird.
One ticker, like what we have now, and then just a phone display, like a square phone display. I don't know. What do you think about this? Is this real?
I kind of like it.
Aura, would this give you, would this fulfill your small phone needs?
Ideally. And I mean, it also helps in multiple respects. It means that instead of us having this like really dinky cover display and then this like super small panel on the front, we would just have a well-sized display on the front in addition to the cameras, which please to
no,
the
they're gonna be
camera overloads of the
best.
Universe.
Find it best.
Give us proper cameras. Nope.
Size concern. It's a size issue. They'll be fine.
Yeah. And this is going to mean bad things for Bespoke, because it means that you can't like mix and match colors between the front and back of the phone.
Oh, true.
I don't really care about that. Give me a screen on the front of the phone that is actually useful. I don't even care if we're stuck with like using good lock modules in order to like get multiple things on the phone. So long as I can have like access to all of my widgets, and maybe like if apps could be configured to use with the front screen, like if I could be able to like put Google Keep on there and just tick off the items on my grocery list as I'm going through the store. Like, there's a lot of things like that that could be really useful on that cover display. And not to mention that would make the cover display so, so, so much better for taking photos.
I'm just wondering.
So I dig it.
If they do just give you access to a launcher and just let you go wild and use this as you would when the
I'm not even necessarily, well, yeah, because
like, how does Android really work with that kind of aspect ratio?
Poorly.
Widgets are resizable for a reason.
But would it just be widgets, or like would you actually be able to open apps and use them? Because I would be very, I think a lot of people would be very upset if you didn't have just access to the apps regularly. Like, you have a launcher and you can scroll and whatever, and some apps don't look great.
Here's a very specific thing, way you can design your app and it will work on the cover screen. Or if it's a matter of, okay, you can pick like up to 20 apps to put on your cover screen launcher, and those 20 apps you can open at a time. And some of them will look good and some of them might not look so good, but you still wanted to be able to see like this obscure app that either your work uses or just whatever little game that you use.
They've got to have something in mind for apps or something, because why would you put a separate ticker screen on it if this display is going to be basically limited to what would be on a ticker screen? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what, like, I agree that like Android apps are going to look weird on this, and like, but they've got to have something.
How weird are they really going to look? Because Samsung has also been working with apps to be like, oh, hey, if y'all want to do like three windows at a time on the Galaxy Z Fold 4, like they've been working on making things work on smaller windows as well as larger ones.
I have my opinions on multi-window, though, how much I do or don't like it, even on the Fold. So
the only concern I would have is that if you try to bring up a keyboard on that tiny ass cover screen, it ain't going to be worth diddly. Like,
you'd
voice input is
voice.
Going to be the only thing you can really use reliably on a screen that small, unless they like give us T9 or something on that itty display.
That's it. Use this to bring back like old school text input. I mean, you there are plenty of T9 keyboards. on Android still. So
there are.
Are there?
Just make really? That the default. Never, like if you really want to do this, if you really want to go through this process, we're going to force you to use T9. And I'm really pretend that this is...
Well, it's either that or... Oh, God, which one is it? Was it Flexi that was the really, really small one? Yeah. I used to be responsible for best Android keyboard apps back in the day, so I feel embarrassed for not knowing this because I've fallen away from my keyboard exploration into just using SwiftKey because I like it. But there are also keyboards that, like, oh, we want you to be able to see as much of the screen as possible, so your keyboard is, like, ultra, ultra tiny on the bottom, like, a single row on the bottom of your screen. So things like that could potentially work. But for the most part, you're going to want to use like voice input or something.
I remember when like custom keyboards were all the hype on Android.
Yeah.
And we would write about how a new keyboard startup had brought like a new way to type and everybody would be into it for a few days and then they'd forget about it and go back to SwiftKey or Gboard.
Yep.
Ah, those are the good old days. I just checked Flexi's still around, but it's not like a... It does have a consumer app still, but it's mostly a B2B company now.
Yeah.
I have installed a T9 keyboard on my phone while we were talking about this. This is all I'm going
to
do.
Back. Use it for a week and get back to us.
Yeah, I'm off next week, so that's what I'll do. Just all the whole right, week, yeah, exactly. I'll respond to emails with a T9 keyboard.
Okay, your Google smart speakers are getting a little bit louder. What is happening here? This is a weird one.
Well, getting makes it sound like it was intentional, and this was 100% not.
Okay. So it's a bug.
Yeah, it's a bug. It's not the only one that's impacting them either. Or at least for me, it's not the only issue I've been having. Because, yeah, at lower volume, like, you're supposed to be able to get your Google smart speakers to be able to get, like, pretty, pretty low if you want them to. Because, like, some people use these as, like, sleep sounds for their, like, their kids or whatnot. And right now, trying to set it at a really low volume is not working well. It seems to get to about like 15%, and then below that, the volume doesn't really get as soft as it's supposed to. It appears to be known, and it looks like they're working on fixing it. But as anybody who has used an assistant-powered speaker would know, bug
it's
fixes
janky
like
AF
these.
And like barely ever works properly. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say.
Honestly, the least reliable of my smart home devices in general. Like these speakers do what they want. They're basically just powered by like the evil bard where they spit out misinformation, do not listen to you when you ask them to do things. And then we'll like, when you're sitting on the couch watching Justified, they'll be like, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. And I'll be like, Raylan did not just talk to you, Google. Okay, Raylan Givens was talking to me, not to you. How dare you? Okay.
I mean, I'd rather deal with a volume issue than the fact that like all of my scheduled routines broke last week, which like screwed me up because that meant that I overslept like multiple days in a row. And if you don't wake up properly, then you're just out of sorts for the whole day. So I'll take the volume being a little bit higher than I intended it to, because if nothing else, I can always just throw something over the speaker to muffle it. But yeah, I really wish that Google would get a little bit more consistency here and stop almost dog fooding as much of this as they do. If we're going to do like public preview and all this stuff, like give us an actual honest to God, real like beta and stable tracks for these. Because at this point, there are definitely enough users out there that you could fill those two programs, and you need to stop making mistakes like these on hardware that is used by millions of non-technology enthusiasts.
Yeah, I mean, Google loves to beta test its regular paying customers because it has so many of them that it can afford to lose them.
Yeah.
That was sarcastic.
Yeah.
All right, couple other quick things. Android 14 might separate the ringtone and volume and notification volume. I mean, this has been like a winding road. We've seen this pop up before in Android betas. It's separate on a bunch of Android skins, like in most companies separate it, right? Samsung in particular. It looks like they are testing separating ring volume and notification volume in Android 14.
Please, please just give that to us. Not everybody will like go and hunt down the perfect notification tones like we nerds will. And if I have a notification tone that I really, really like, but it makes my ringtone either super duper loud or super duper soft, that just makes me unhappy as a user. And
well,
it's something that is so easy to fix.
Isn't Daniel on record of leaving his phone on like silent or vibrate all the time anyway.
Yes, this will not affect you at all. So I don't understand why this is a big deal, personally.
It is a deal.
Yeah, I also would appreciate this because I would like to have my ringtone at a... To be honest, the ringtone can be off. Reasonable amount. It can just be silent and the notifications can be on. I don't need to know that I'm getting a spam call.
Okay, last thing, Ara, I want you to talk about this new see-through Chromebook. What is it and why does it matter?
People are thrilled because it's like, oh my God, it's an iMac, but it's a Chromebook. It's one of those old school, like translucent colored iMacs, but it's a Chromebook. But at the same time, I mean, it's like, it's a clear back and bottom, but there's not that much to see underneath because these are Chromebooks and there's not that many components underneath. So it looks fancier than it is. But also this is just, it's an Intel N4500 powered Chromebook, 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage, and EMMC storage, and a 1366 by 768 old panel. This is a budget Chromebook in every sense of the word, and it's going to look even cheaper because it's going to have a clear cover on it that is probably going to yellow.
It already looks kind of yellow in these images.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I get the IPL, and I like that CTL is trying to keep things a little fun, but it's black, clear, and gold, so there's not a whole lot of fun here. Like, if you were going to do this, at least have, like, either swappable back plates to where it could be, like, purple or blue or green instead of clear and black, because this just looks messy.
I think the attention that this laptop got on the internet this week just kind of shows the appetite that exists for a gadget that is see-through and fun and like the iMac G3 or you know, Nothing's products, even like more recently. But, you know, just bring clear tech back. I think people like not it doesn't have to be on everything.
It's literally Nothing's entire business model.
Yeah,
it is. Like, it is.
The company is
but
basically.
No, I mentioned Nothing. I said Nothing, but like
that's what I mean. Like, their products are not remarkable in any way.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, and this isn't even like a clear cover over the whole thing. It's only over the back. It's only on the bottom. So when you just have it open and you're using it, it looks like a regular laptop.
That's also true with the Nothing phone.
True. But yeah, no. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, even a D-brand skin for this to show the internal components instead would have made more sense. Or just working with D-pan on, like, okay, here's an alternate backplate you can use.
The whole thing should have been see-through purple, like an N64.
Yes.
Hells to the yeah.
And then I'm in 100%. This just makes me miss, like, Pixelbooks, honestly. Like, bring back the Pixelbook is what I'm saying.
They're never going to do it, but at least HP gave us something close.
Okay, well, we ran through it. It's another very busy grab baggy week, but thanks for sticking with us. If you have any feedback for us, send it to podcast@androidpolice.com. We do love hearing from you. You can find us all on Android Police. You can see Will's one-man show lying in bed, sick forever. he'll be there till next Tuesday.
Yeah, I had... The 10 minutes before we hit record was me talking about having food poisoning this week.
It's just you lying on a bed with a barf bucket next to you. It's very avant-garde.
More or less. Anyway, I'm unrelated. I'm off next week. So, yeah, if you need me, I'll be pivoting to TikTok. Seems like that's a real stable platform for me.
Does it work on the Wi-Fi network is what I want to know, Will.
I haven't figured that out yet. That's my deep investigation coming in 2 weeks.
I want 1,000 words on it when you get back. Ara, thank you for being here as well.
Yes, I definitely want to head for a bed soon. And then I will be taking off the week after Will does. So
yeah. Well, we'll have some special guests to replace you. You're not replaceable, but we'll do our best. Until then,
see how it is.
Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.